And I say, woo.
Woo!
Isn't God good? His presence all the time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm. Boy, fill your cup, right? Fill it up. Fill it up, Lord. Do something good among us. Hallelujah. We're just going to turn down this light here so we might be able to get a little more darkness on the screen. Yeah, just turn it down a little. Ah, almost all the way off. Hallelujah. Hey, church, I am honored. And yeah, I might just want to leave them on. They might have to take notes. In your bulletin, you do have, let's just see. Let me just get this out, head out, right? Okay. In your bulletin, you do have something that you can take notes on, follow along. Today, I want to speak to you about the state of the church address. This beginning of the new year, you hear government officials, you even hear a United States of America president. I think it's going to happen this week. Maybe not. I haven't heard if there's going to be a State of the Union address. But I really felt led of the Lord to just bring before you something that the Lord has laid upon our hearts, my heart, the board's heart. We've been praying. We've been seeking the Lord. And I just want to share with you some thoughts, vision, direction that the Lord would have this church to be going into in 2014. We're going to be looking at the book of Joshua today, verses 1 through 14. So if you do have your Bibles, open up to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in front of you. And if not, behind me on the board is the scripture. So let's all stand in honor reading the word of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. The scripture says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are the Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Gersites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. And I always like to put in there, and the Budlites. Drive them out, Lord. We don't need it. See that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off, and the Ark will be cut off and stand up in the heap. Maybe I got lost there. We cut off and stand up in the heat. For when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Father, today I humbly bow before you as your servant, as your voice to this congregation. And Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just seal in each of our hearts the word of the Lord today and what you would have for this church as we enter into 2024. Continue to give us direction and guidance, Lord. We can't do this in ourselves. I can't do this in myself, Lord. Lord, we all need to be involved. Just as much as you're involved in each of our lives here in this room today, God, we also need to be involved in what you're doing here at Oneonta Assembly of God. Pray your blessing upon everyone that's here. Be with the children as they're being ministered to in the gym. Be with the nursery workers as they minister to the children in the nursery. Oh, God, just continue to watch over us, we pray.
And Father, for this, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated.
This past week, I came upon an article in the magazine that I read that kind of gives me somewhat of a good insight into what's happening in the world today. It's called The World. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this magazine. Christian magazine comes out of Tennessee. And I get a lot of information from this. And of course, you just don't know these today if all the information you get is true, right? But you just hope it is. But the article they had in this magazine this week was Faithful Field Generals. And what they did was they showed the readers the Christian quarterbacks that abound this year in the NFL playoffs. And I thought that I wanted to show you some Christian men who are being used of God in the world of sports and the impact that they're having. Some of you might know the first one, Brock Purdy of San Francisco 49ers. They are in the playoffs. Jalen Hurts, who are the Philadelphia Eagles. My son, Ben, is a chaplain for the Delaware County there in Pennsylvania. And he says there's more Christians on the football team than you could even imagine. And here is Hurts leading the way and having devotions and prayer with his football team. They didn't make it in the playoffs. And that doesn't, because you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you get favor. But your life could be a testimony for God. Another one, Patrick Mahomes and his buddy McAuto, or whatever his name, Holmes and Autos. You saw that commercial. You know what I'm talking about. Patrick Holmes of the Kansas City Chiefs and the testimony and the life that he's living. And here's an interesting fact. Think about Patrick Mahomes and who his good friend is. Kelsey, right? Kelsey. And who is Kelsey going out with? One of the greatest pop stars in America, Britney Spears. No, not Britney Spears. You know better than me. What's her name? Taylor Swift. There you go. But can you imagine here Patrick Mahomes is witnessing to Kelsey, and Kelsey is witnessing, hopefully, to Taylor Smith. You know, the church, the connections we have with people, you just never know the impact that it can have on people's lives. Let's take the next one. I can't even say his name. I know he's Simone. But Tua Tagovailoa, I don't know, from the Miami Dolphins. We'll leave that one alone. The next one, C.J. Strauss of Houston, Texas. And they didn't make it in the playoffs. But here are five men who are Christian believers. I think it was a shame to the news media was it Purdy or was it Strauss? I think it was Strauss that was given the testimony and giving God the glory for what, giving them the victory, and they cut it out. They edited it out. If you were to go to the news media and look at those two interviews, one on CBS and the other one, the true interview, they blot out his testimony of giving credit to God and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's awful that they would do something like that. But the testimony that these men have, I understand they're men. They're going to make mistakes. They're fallible. They're not perfect. But yet the testimony that they carry and the life that they live. And church, I say this to you today as your pastor. I stand before you not as one of the greatest quarterbacks as of a pastor, but as a humble man, who is called your pastor. I stand before you today humbled to be your pastor. I don't consider myself great. I don't consider anything that I say of divine nature or divine influence other than the influence that God has placed in my heart that I share with you today. These quarterbacks, when they enter the field, I feel the same blend of anxiety and excitement that they feel when they go out onto the field. And that's how I feel as I stand there and get ready to come before you. I feel that same anxiety and I feel that same excitement. Matter of fact, I have that anxiety and excitement in me. I can't even eat in the morning because it's just not good for me. So I fast the morning, not to be spiritual, because I know I can't eat, because I know where I'm going to be. And after church, it takes me a couple hours to just wind down in that way. And I can't eat right away because I know the impact that it has on me. And if I do eat, I know the consequences of the impact that it has on me as well. Me and the toilet are good buddies during that time. But you know, church, I say all this so you will know that I'm human as much as you are. And I'm excited. There's not anxiousness, but there's an apprehensiveness that I have what the future has for this church and for what God wants to do here. It's not because I don't trust God and I don't have faith in God. It's just because it's not me. It's Him. I just listen to what He says. I just do what He wants me to do. And in the midst of that, great things take place. Great things happen. But the apprehensiveness on my part is not because I'm afraid or because I just don't know. I don't know what God's going to do. So surely the ancient Hebrews, as they would have that same feeling, if you can associate with them, if you can associate maybe something in your life, a new job, maybe a new me, or a new child, or a new home, the excitement and the anxiety that comes with that. Am I able to provide? Am I able to meet? Am I able to handle these things? The Hebrews felt the same way when they stood on the bank of the Jordan River. They were preparing to cross into the Promised Land. For the past 80 years or more, 480 years, they were in Egyptian bondage and slavery. And the last 40 years of their existence, everyone over the age of 20 passed away. And all those that now are entering into the Promised Land, when the promise was given, were 20 years and younger. So the oldest person would have been 60 and the youngest person would have been 20. But that generation was passed away because they didn't have faith to believe what God told them to do. Did not have faith to believe. And for 40 years, God used Moses to guide a headstrong, rebellious people in a perilous desert to the edge of the Jordan River so they can enter into the Promised Land. The Israelites weren't an easy crowd to please. They wanted things and they wanted it right away. An entire generation had died in the transit from the Kadesh all the way now to the Jordan River. And over 3 million Israelites were buried in the desert during that time. Now they stood on the edge of the richest land that God had promised to them, flowing with milk and honey, a land which also contains some fearsome enemy. With excitement, with anxiety, they were going to cross over into a new way that they have never seen before. Never seen before. And church, I want to share with you the relationship between that event in Scripture to where we are now as a church. This church has been on a journey for 85 years. This church was founded in 1939 from two missionaries that were sent out of Egypt because of the Nazi takeover of Northern Africa. The missionaries were Grace and Russell Plants, and they worked with Lillian Trasher, who was the mother of the Nile. And because Germany was taking over Europe and the Middle East and Northern Africa, they were commanded to leave there right away. And when they were commanded to leave, they packed up their stuff and they left on an ocean liner and landed in New York City, there at Ellis Island, though they were already Americans, but everyone goes to Ellis Island. They get off, you're American, you're welcome in. But if you're not an immigrant, you have to go through the process. And then from there, they didn't know where to do or where to go. So they prayed, God, where do you want us to be? And God led them to Oneonta, New York. Imagine that, out of all the towns in New York, God led them to Oneonta. They come here, they purchase a home on 40 Main Street. As soon as you go into Nero Park, that house right there on the right was a house that they purchased, and they started holding church services in that house. From there, the Oneonta Semi-God was born. And it's been an 85-year journey to where we are today. The church is 85 years old. 85 years old this year. It's been a journey. Many pastors have come through these doors. Many people that have led this church and this congregation through the ups and downs, through the waves of like the waves of a skyloscope or oscilloscope that goes up and down, 180, 180, 360. that constantly, that's what happened. The church rises and falls, rises and falls, rises and falls. Until my wife and I came in 1990 with 8 people. And matter of fact, there's only 2, possibly 3 original of the 80 people that are here today. Flo McAdams, Debbie McMullen came the first Sunday I came here to preach. And Barbara Wilsey and her husband, Steve, would come once in a while as well. But yet, God established a church here in Oneonta. And I am grateful and I am humbled to be your pastor in this journey. Now, God seems to be calling us to the next level of ministry, church. For many months, we've been praying that God would miraculously provide the funds to pay off our promissory note. And you know what he did? He did it. December, he did it. He took care of that. Amen? He took care of that. Hallelujah. And church, now I believe we stand at the banks of the Jordan River. We really are. We're standing at the banks of the Jordan River. All the bondages of Egypt, all the bondages of the past are behind us. And now we're at the Jordan River of ministry where God would have us to cross over. But he doesn't want us to cross over in our might or in our power. He wants us to depend upon him. And he wants us to do something else. He wants to go before us. He wants to show us that he's a wonderful working God. I read this not too long ago, how pilots are on the runway and they're ready to take off. That plane has to get to 120 miles an hour before it has enough lift to lift. The pilots have up into 120 miles an hour to either abort that plane so it can stop safely, or they throttle it up, they call it, and so the plane will start to rise and fly off. Church, we're going down the runway. We're getting to 120 miles an hour. I'm ready to throttle it. Are you? Are you ready to rise up? Are you ready to lift up and allow God to do something great? That's where we are. We are. We're at that precipice in our lives. And as the church races down this runway today with excitement and anxiety, the grilling of faith, the tilting of the nose of the church upward, not in a pious or a mighty way, but one who is committed to do what God wants to do. I want to just bring you through, if I could, through this scripture verse, some similarities that I believe that we've been going through this past year and what we're going to go through this year. The first one is this. The officers of this Hebrew passed through the camp telling the people, we are going where we've never been before. The officers went throughout the camp. And they were saying, we're going somewhere where we've never been before. And our leaders and the leadership of this church, the board of this church and the ministry leaders of this church, we're letting you know. We're going somewhere where we've never been before. We really are, church. I don't know where we're going yet, but I know we need to depend on God because he's going to lead us where we need to go. We're going somewhere where I've never been before. I've never been this way before. And you'll know later on when I start sharing with you what God is laying upon our leaders and what he's laying upon my heart. We've never been this way before, but we need to go that way because God is calling us that way. The Hebrews did not know what laid ahead. The reconnaissance that they had was how old? Does anybody know how old the reconnaissance was? 40 years. Joshua and Caleb, 40 years prior, and the other 10 spies went into the promised land. They did reconnaissance. They spied out the land. That's what reconnaissance means, to spy out. They spied out. They came back with a report. And now that report is 40 years old. I'll be honest. If I try to go back 40 years old from today to remember where I was, I probably wouldn't remember. I wouldn't remember. Probably you can't either. But here's Joshua and Caleb, the only two that were promised because they gave a good report that they were going to be allowed in the land. They were going in a land where none of them had been before. Joshua and Caleb may have been there, but yet what? They probably didn't remember as much. Well, I think we go this way. I think we do this. I think we... No, they didn't know. 40 years has passed. We too face the unknown future, don't we? None of us can predict what the national economy will be this year. Doesn't matter what Federal Reserve says. It doesn't matter what the economist says. Doesn't matter. We can't even predict who the next president is this year. Though we may have our favors, but we can't predict. We can't know for certain this is who it's going to be. We can't even predict our employment for this year, if we're even going to have a job. Look at all the layoffs that are happening around the world because of the economic downturn that's taking place. It may not affect you right now, but it's going to affect us eventually when we can't get parts for our cars or we can't get certain items that we need right away. None of us know what our future will be. I'm going to even go a little step further. None of us don't even know what our health will be this year. We don't know what our health will be. We don't know. We just hope that everything we're doing and everything we're doing is right and everything's going to turn out all right and we're going to keep on plugging along. But in all reality, God is the one that holds life. And God is the author of life. I say this to you today, for the ancient Hebrews and everything they went through had to go through by faith. It was crucial for them to believe in faith. And that's the same thing for us today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. By faith, we do what we do by faith. That's what we do. That's what believers do. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know. We can't see the future, but by faith, we have the assurance. We do. We have the insurance, if you look at it, that the things that we hope for will come to pass, and we have to have a conviction because we just don't see it. Doesn't mean it's not going to take place. Faith is being willing to endure and to adventure with God blindfolded. Church, we need to have faith. It's got to be a willingness. Will it be a blindfold? Sure it will. I learned something from a farmer down the road here that I purchased a tractor from. And we were talking about deers getting in your garden. And I remember the old farmer telling me, don't put a high fence up around your garden. Put something, wood, a metal barrier, something. Not thick, doesn't have to be thick. Just put a barrier. And if you put a barrier, the deers won't go in your garden. I said, really? And I go, why is that? He says, because a deer will not jump over something where they can't see where they're going to land. It's not the fact that they're not willing to jump. The fact is they don't know when they jump over what's on the other side. Most of us are like that, aren't we? Church, ever since I took his advice and I put up a metal thing around my fence, you see it, you drive in, that's where my garden is. I never had a deer go in my garden. They haven't ate my vegetables. They haven't got with any of my stuff. They because they can't see over the barrier there, and it's only 2.5 feet, 3 feet high. But it's good enough deterrent. They don't go in my garden. So I'm blessed. But you know what? That's a deer. Let's now bring it into the spiritual kingdom of Christians. Some of us will not be willing to jump unless we can see where we're going to land. Some of us are not willing to take God by faith and say, God says, go ahead, jump. And we say, Lord, I don't know what's on the other side. God said, don't worry what's on the other side. I'm on the other side. That's all that matters. If God tells you to do it because he's with you through it. That's the beauty of faith. Faith allows you to do those things. We have to have faith to be willing to jump when God says jump, even when we cannot see the landing zone, and to trust that God will make a way and make all things good. I've done that over the years as the pastor of this church. I've done this in ministry. I've done this in what I got involved in ministry, just not in this church only, but in a community and what I do in other places. And it has opened doors that I can't even imagine. But yet God has used that jumping of faith, not knowing where I'm going to land, and the testimony of the life that I live, that Christ liveth in me. It's not I who liveth, but Christ that lives in me. I'm honored. And that's what faith is about. For Christians, life begins to zing sometimes. And when we zing, we're either going to zag or we're going to go forward. I don't want to zag. I want to go forward. And I want to keep on going forward until God calls me home. Amen. Church, that's what it's about. Let me take you to the next one. So know this. Our leaders, we're all in one accord on this. We're going forward. You know that. Our leaders know this. They're behind that. They're praying that God would do something great here, and that's what we're believing for. We are going someplace that we just have never been before. I say that honestly as your pastor. Here's another one. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you want God to do wonders among us? Do you come to church today just to sit there and sing and fold your hands or sit down and put your hands on your lap and allow everybody else to worship and you see them worshiping? Church, or do you want to see God do wonders among us? I want to see God do wonders. I really do. It's not me who drums up the spirit. It's not the worship team that drums up the spirit. By no means. It's you who come prepared to see God do wonders. That's the only way this church is going to grow, and this is the only way this church is going to see wonders. I'm honored that you want me to pray for you. But I want you to know, my prayer doesn't do nothing if God doesn't do it. Plain and simple. I can pray until I got sweat pouring down my brows. It's not going to make any difference if God is not involved. That's why it's important to have a relationship with Jesus and maintain that relationship. So when you do step out by faith, you do step out and you put your head forward and you go forward and you believe God to do something great among you. He then takes that and says, oh, I'm going to honor that. I'm going to honor that. And it's so beautiful when God honors the faith. Just not me as your pastor, when he honors the faith of the little children. When they did the Christmas play at Christmas time, when we talked about the altar call, the little kids, they sat over there and they said, listen, pastor, if there's anybody that comes up and we feel led, can we come up and pray with them? This is kids saying it. It's not me telling them to do it. They feel it in their heart. They want to do it. I wish sometimes we might do it. We might camera in a gym and watch, let you watch how the kids worship God. They might put you to shame. They love God. They pray. They believe. God is there. That's the generation. That's the next generation of this church. The young people that are sitting here, they're the leaders of tomorrow. I say to you, get God in your heart. Get him in your soul. Allow him to do something in you, because that's the only way you're going to be able to go through. If you think you're just living in a home for 18 years and when you go to college, you can live the way you want to live, know this, that God's got his hand on your life. God's got his hand on your life, Colin. I believe that. Stella and Becky and William and Jeremy, Josh and Tim, God's got his hands on those lives. Herman, on your life too. Over there, James, right? God's got his hands on your life. I don't know if I miss anyone. Kiara's here. Callie's somewhere else. Galen, and where's Liam? Is he home? Okay, we missed him. Tell him God's got his hand on his life. I may miss someone, and I don't mean to miss anybody. But the point that I'm trying to make here, don't think that you're just going to church just to pacify your parents. You're going to church because you want to find God. You got to find God on your own level. And who knows, you might be one of the youth or children that find God on such a level that will surpass me. Who knows what you're going to be in God's eyes? Who knows the place of influence that you're going to have that I may not get to? But yet, if you're open, God can do something in your life. The greatest teacher I had was my Greek teacher. His name was Dr. John Reed. Sometimes you hear me talk about that. But Dr. Reed said this thing, bring everything you have and are to God and let God use that for his glory. I remember Dr. Reed saying that in one of our Greek class. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you up on that. I just give him everything. It's all yours, Lord. I don't claim to be anyone special. I don't have any special powers. I don't, church. But I know one thing, God has my life. And God has everything. There's not one thing in my life if he doesn't touch and says I want it, that I'm not willing to give it to him. From the birth of my first son, I gave him to God. And then God gave him back to me. Though he died on us twice, but God brought life back into Nathaniel and gave him life. And look at what he's doing today and the life that he lives. When I had my second child, I gave him to God even before even God asked me to take it. My Abby, I gave her to God before she was even born. There's just something about giving your kids to God and leaving it in his hands. Dr. Reed is really saying this. God's anointing will be upon your life, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be there if you just let him have his way. Let me go on to another fact. God continues to be a wonder worker. Has God done something amazing in your life lately? Wednesday night, I gave my class an opportunity to share some testimonies. They share some good testimonies. How God has done something blessing and has done something miraculous in their life. That's the wonder-working God we have. He's always doing something great, something new. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor can people even imagine what good things God has prepared for those that love him." Your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard what God's got in store for you. In store for you. Something good. Something way beyond what I can even imagine or think. Something way beyond what you could even imagine or think. That's how we know it's God. When you imagine it and God dropped it in there and then it comes to pass. That's the amazing thing. That's the amazing thing. I think the first greatest task that I had as a pastor of this church over the last 33, going on 34 years, was to build this part of this building. It was 1994 when we were meeting down there at the garage at my house, 3-car garage that we turned into a chapel. We started meeting there. Do you remember that, Debbie? Debbie's there. Who else was there? Barbara was there. Flo was there. Debbie Simon's mother was there. I'm thinking of people that were there over time. But by faith, the church started growing. We were up to 40 people with the kids. Say, God, we got to do something. And God dropped this in our lap and says, okay, this is the direction you want us to go. We say, Lord, how are we going to do this? The contractor told us the building was going to cost $170,000 with 40 people and kids, I should say. So it might have been less. And you know what? We were able to build this structure for $170,000 and get it done. A lot of work was done in this building by the people that were attending here. Same with the news section in 2015. We felt led that we needed to build more room. We needed more classrooms. We needed a gymnasium for the kids. We needed offices because of the counseling center and also for me as a pastor, because everything was being done down at the house. That 3-car garage, even in my house, I had a study and that's where everything was being done. That's where we were working out of. Pauletta remembers that. But church, God did it. 2015, we started building that new structure out there. They told us it was going to cost $650,000. The cost of this building from $170,000 to that building, $150,000, which I'm sure it costs a lot more than that. And how God did it. We raised $350,000. Offerings. We raised that much. Then we took promissory notes again for $400,000. In 2019, we were in the building. And by December of last year, 2023, it was all paid off. All of our debt was paid off. Church, I'm just trying to show you what God has done. And if you weren't a part of that, that's all right. Now you can be a part of something greater that he wants to do. Don't always say, God will use somebody else. God will use that person. No, God wants to use you. You do your part, God will take care of his. You do your best, God will take care of the rest. These are little sayings that I have. If you're not willing to do anything, that's fine, because God will raise up somebody else. He, that's the way he is. He's a God like that. He wants to count on you, but if you can't count on him, what does he do? He raises up somebody else. One of God's greatest promises in Scripture is Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. God's doing a good work here. He's going to complete it. I'd like you to be a part of what God's doing here. God always completes things. When God sends a sunrise, for sure there will be a sunset. I can't predict the future, but I'm beginning to discern what the wonders that God wants to do among us. Can I share with you some of the things that I've received from prayer as I was preparing this sermon? Yes, thank you. At least I got one. I foresee this church sharing faith wherever possible and seeing a steady stream of believers, unsaved people coming into church. I see that. I don't know if you see it, but I see that. I predict that this church will be used to help heal the divisions that are in this community that have been planted for years. And without God's healing power, it's not going to take place. I believe the Oneonta Semi-God will become a model church to show the significant diversity of race and classes that are in this church. We already have that here. People come into this church and says, there's such a diversity of people in this church. Yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight. God doesn't see color, neither should we. God doesn't see race, neither should we. We all bleed the same blood. And we're all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I predict that the ministries of the Oneonta Semi-God will grow and have a great impact on the community and the surrounding areas. We already have seen it. We had opportunity to do certain things, but God closed the doors, but we were willing to do it. These are just a few things that God wants to do among us. And sometimes God will dazzle us, and occasionally He shocks us, but God will never bore us. I can tell you that. There's not a boring day that goes by in my house or in this church. Something is always happening. Why? Because God is in control. We serve a wonderful working God. Let me just share with you what our vision is of the board, the vision that we have for this church. And I'm saying this, but I'm also asking you to pray about it. Church, we realize the most important thing that we need is that we need to hire a family pastor. We need to bring somebody on board that will work with the youth, that will work with the kids, and be involved in the families in the church. I can't do it all. I know that. It's been like that for a while. I'll do my best. I'll pick up where I got to pick up. I will do what I got to do. But my prayer is that God will send somebody that we can hire another pastor that can work with me, work with my wife, work with the board to accomplish something greater in this church. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. And we see the need. I don't know if you see the need. We see the need. When you've got 30 kids in children's church, and in the matter of 4 or 5 years, they're going to be a youth. We need someone to be involved in their lives. Greater than my wife can be. Greater than I can be. And I appreciate what my wife does. Taking that on every week. Making sure those children have something that they can get fed. Something that will help them grow and mature and become everything that God wants them to be. And then I know my wife, she's not going to lack at all. She doesn't lack at all. She gives it all. That's what she does. And she even amazes me sometimes with the things that she comes up with today. Those that have kids here today, ask them what they learn. They learn about the loaves and the fish. And my wife got some good-looking fish. They're fake, but boy, I tell you, they look real. I saw them. I said, oh, where'd you get those? She goes, they're not real. They look real. But how God is able to take little and make what? Much. Church, that's the same thing among us today. We may be little, but God can take the little and He can turn it in much. The second thing that we have to do, the board, we feel that we have to do, if we're going to hire a pastor to come in, a family pastor, we need to build a place for them to live. Now, we can allow them to come and find a place to live and do all this stuff and pay them rent or pay whatever they have to get paid to get taken care of. Well, we got 15 acres of land, and we can build another parsonage on this land. And we can house them. And the money that we put toward building that is almost like giving them monthly housing allowance. So I want you to know, just not hiring a pastor, but providing them for a place to live on this church property. There's another thing that we feel as a board. We feel in the two M's. The first M is ministry. The second M is maintenance. Something that we have to do on this old church building, which will be 30 years old next year. We need to maintain this building. We're maintaining the other building because it's brand new. It's easier. This building needs to be maintained. Stuff needs to take place. And if it needs to take place, we need to do it, because if we don't take care of it, it can't take care of us. Another thing we talked about was taking where the old kitchen is and creating a new kitchen and reorganizing the nursery. So really, there will be no eating space at all back there. That will end up turning into a massive kitchen. And where in the gym is the case that we honor Garth with, that will come out, and that will be a pass-through window where we're going to serve our meals and stuff of that nature. And reorganize the nursery, because the nursery has that part of the building. We also want to expand our present ministries that we're doing. And the only way a ministry is going to get expanded is for you to rise up and say, okay, God is leading me in this way. So these are just five of the things that we're praying about. And I ask you to pray with us for that. That God will give us direction in that way. And when you pray, you're going to do the next step. It's in verse 5. Consecrate yourselves, or dedicate yourselves, to God. If you are not consecrated, if you're not dedicated, God can't work through you. Plain and simple. We don't want people that are qualified. You know, I don't want that. I want people that are humbly, that are humble, that will say, I want to do whatever God wants to do. I'm not qualified. By no means, I'm not qualified. Other than God putting a call upon my life. In other words, prepare yourself for spiritually for exciting venture with God that's ahead. It's really neat to see what happens when somebody is willing to step out of the boat, when somebody is willing to jump over that fence, when somebody is willing to take God at his word. It's nice to see what happens, and something wonderful happens. God is calling us to bring to him our prayers, our willing spirit, our sacrificial giving, our commitments. If anything is timid, if anything is conservative, if anything is half-hearted, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm sure today, as these four football teams get on the field, there's not one of them that are half-hearted. They are fully sold out. They are sold out. They know if they give it their best, they have the hopes of winning and being what they need to be. It doesn't matter if they can say in their heart or in their mind, I'm going to win, I'm going to win. It has nothing to do with your thinking. It has to do with your commitment of your heart. Christians, we need not to be wishy-washy. We need not to be tossed to and fro. We need to be committed. Our eyes need to be focused upon him and let him direct our paths. God doesn't want us to be timid. He doesn't want us to be a conservative. He doesn't want our half-heartedness. He wants our all. Amen? And if we are willing to fully surrender to him and be willing and committed to him, and he wants to be first place in your life, why not give it to him? Because he'll do something greater for you. This church leadership in the body has prayed many days, many nights for God's direction. And God has given us a bold vision, a vision that some say is larger than our capacity. I say to you, that's good. That's good. It should be larger than what we can think. Because if we do it based on what we think, it's not big enough. But if we do it based on what God thinks and it's bigger than us, that means I can't do it. That means God's got to do it. God's got to do it. I can't do it. God's got to do it. And that's the capacity that I'm talking about. It's not what I can do, it's what God can do. Some may say, yeah, you got big dreams, you got big hopes. You know, if I don't shoot for something, I'm going to hit nothing. So I got to shoot for something. If God changes those plans, he changes them. But I know one thing, if I'm willing and God is able, I got a feeling it's going to be done. And if God changes things, he changes things. How many remember when we first started out putting that building together? We met together, and our architect told us, dream what you want. And we did. We dreamed. A whole new sanctuary, a basement. I mean, we dreamed. And when the architect brought us the bill, $3.5 million, we stopped dreaming that and we started dreaming this. I'm not saying that God couldn't provide $3 million, but hey, we put everything in there that we thought we could put. I really did. I believe God for $3.5 million, but that's not what the Lord wanted. It's all right to dream. There's nothing to dream. There's nothing wrong with that. But no, be realistic in your dreaming and what God wants. This church leadership has prayed. I want you to know that. We are not a board that just meets together and sip coffee and do nothing. If you sit on my board, you'll know. It's not a one-hour meeting. It's not a two-hour meeting. 2 hours, very minimal. Most of the time, it's 3 hours or more. Why? Because we're praying, we're believing that God will do something great. You got a board here that loves to see God do something great. Be proud of the board that you voted into place, the trustees of this church, and their willingness to take care of all the fiduciary responsibility. Get the reports today. Read them. If you have nothing to do Wednesday, if you're a church member, you should be here. But if you're not a church member, come. You'll see everything that the church has accomplished this year through the giving that you have given. We're fully accountable for all that. And I'm honored. I'm humbled. I look at our church of maybe 100 to 120 people, close the books this year, knowing that over $250,000 have come through this church and the ministries that this church has done. That's not on top of what some of the savings account has taken in. Over $100,000 to help pay off the promissory notes and things like that. You know, some people say, the church is so small, how can it do what it does? I'll tell you why it can do what it does, because you give what you can, and God takes care of the rest. I mean, I haven't seen any fishes and loaves multiply lately, but I know God was able to stretch things a lot further and longer than what I could even imagine. That's the beauty of who God is. And the joy that we can look back and say, I was a part of what God did there. That's the joy. I was a part of what God did there. I was a part of God's miracle at Oneonta Assembly of God. I was a part of what God wanted to do there. I want people to know that we stretched this church to the fullest extent of its capacity. We have stretched this church to the fullest extent of its capacity. All workers, everyone who does anything in this church, you have been stretched. You may not feel, no, you have felt like it. Because there are many times you come to me and you say, Pastor, I just can't do it no more. I said, hang in. Got to do it. Just give him time. That's what God does. He stretches us. If we're comfortable where we're at, then we really got to be looking at our lives. Maybe we're too comfortable and we got to ask God to shake things up. Really do. What capacity that the Holy Spirit can have in someone's life if we just say, God, have your way. I want people to say in the days ahead that God used this church as a primary means of healing and uniting this Christian community in Oneonta. I want people to be able to say that when God transformed someone's life, it was real. It was real. I want people to say in 20, 30, 40, even 50 years after I'm gone, that the secret of the Oneonta Assembly of God vitality was that it never was tired of calling people to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. New birth gives life. And through new birth and through giving people an opportunity to give their heart to Christ, things began to take place. Never tired, giving people an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. If it's not done during our service, let it be done during our ministry. The ministry that we're doing, or whatever we're doing. Give God an opportunity. But church, you know this as well as I do. There's something more that we all should yearn for. The day when God calls us home and God says these words, thou good and faithful servant. I do what I do today, not for pats on the back. I do what I do today because I do it for God, and I want to be faithful to what he's given to me. It doesn't often happen, but in this scripture verse, there was a phase, a phrase that just popped off the pages for me. That phrase is found in verse 15. The feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, and then the waters parted. You know what this is telling me, church? If we're not willing to step in, God can't do the miracle. It's not the fact that God goes before us. It's the fact is when God tells us to do something and we be obedient to what he tells us to do, then God does the miracle. The more I listen to the Lord, the more powerful this phrase means to me. We all stand on the embankment of the Jordan River today. We all stand at a Jordan River in our lives. And in order to get into the promised land, we got to step in order to cross over. You're not going to cross over unless you step in. There's not a bridge here. The bridge is God. You got to step in order to cross over. And I'm saying for this church, and I'm saying for everyone at the sound of my voice today, you want to get over to the other side? You got to step in. You got to step in. No mistake. For the Israelites to cross the river, it proved the challenge that God told them to do. Go down to the water's edge, step in, and I will part the water. It's almost telling me today, as your pastor, we got to step in. We got to step in. That throttle is going. We're getting up to 120 miles an hour. We're not going to put on our brakes to stop. We're going to just lift up and go with Christ and go where he wants us to go. Take the first step. Are you willing? I think that's the question, my last question. Are you willing to step out in faith? Let's pray. Worship team's coming up. Hallelujah. Church, I shared with you my heart, and I hope you hear what I'm saying today. I'm excited not because of my preaching. I'm excited because what God's put in my heart. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you're standing at the Jordan River of your life. Let me even go back a little further. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. I want you to know you're standing at a Jordan River of your life. So with that thought in mind, if you're here today, with every head bow, every eye closed, if you're here today, you heard about God's love. You heard about the fact that God does forgive sin. But you haven't taken that step. Are you willing to step out in faith today? Today, do you want to take that step of faith? Step into the water? If you want to give your heart and your life to Christ, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand, and this pastor wants to pray for you. Some of you say, oh, pastor, you do this every week. You're right, I do. Because you know why? This is a call that God called this church to do. Amen. Appreciate that hand. Anyone else? Say, pastor, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Don't let your pride or your thinking stop people from receiving God's forgiveness. So many people have done that in their life, and the consequences are dire, especially when they're hanging on a deathbed rail, saying, call someone, come to me, let them lead me to the Lord. I've seen that deathbed conversion. I say to you, don't wait. You don't have to wait that long. If God is speaking to your heart, if he's speaking to your life today, you want to make a step of faith, stepping into the water. You want to accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior. I have one already raised their hand. Is there anyone else here tonight that will raise their hand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask for the one that did raise their hand, if they will make their way up here. If some of you ladies will come and stand behind her, let her know that she's not alone. You've made this walk. You've done this walk. You know. You know. You know. If there's anyone else, come up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Come over here. Come over here and face me. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead them in prayer, and our worship team is going to lead us in a song.
whiter than snow, Lord. Watch me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Song softly. Maybe you're online today and you say, Pastor John, I need Jesus. Our congregation is going to bow our head right now and we're going to pray that if you're listening online that you accept Christ as your Savior. It's simple as saying your ABCs. To submit that you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him as your Savior. Simple. Just repeat this prayer after me. Those that are listening online. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I admit that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of forgiveness. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in Him. He was a curse word to me, but now that word means a lot more. Jesus, save me. I now confess you as my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me right in your sight. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer online today, please let me know. Contact me. I have information I want to put into your hands. Christians, I want to speak to you. I would fail you if I didn't. Maybe you're here today. And maybe you're at your Jordan River. Do you know the word Jordan in the Hebrew means commit? If you're not willing to commit, you can't go across. You can go across, but you're going to deal with all the turbulence, all the rocks that may be under the water. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the Jordan was at the flood stage time. So it was overflowing its bank. The rivers were really flowing. The waters were flowing. Obstacles are in your Jordan River. But if you trust God and just take that step of faith, step into the water. He parts it, and all those struggles and all those obstacles are done away with so you can get through and get to the other side. Maybe you're at a Jordan River right now. Maybe you're asking God to do something that has never done before in your life. With your head bowed, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand before the Lord. Not before me, but before the Lord. Say, Pastor, I'm at a place, amen, I'm at a place, amen, where I, at my Jordan River, amen. I need prayer, Pastor. I've never done this before. I've never been this way before. I've never tried this thing before. What do you mean? I got to live for Jesus? I've been living my life. I've been doing my things. Now I'm at a place in my life where I need to commit my life to Christ. I need to live for Him. You got to step in order to reach the other side. Faith causes miracles to happen. Believe with me that as you go forward with God, as you step out in faith, that God's hand will move on your behalf. Hallelujah. We're going to sing this song before I pray. And if that's you, I want you to stand before the Lord as a prayer, being yielded and still.
Oh, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
that verse.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Why don't you raise your hand? God, I surrender to you. I want you to have your way.
Thou art the potter.
Father, you are the potter. I am the clay.
I am the clay.
Oh, mold me, melt me, make me.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Let me pray. Father, I just pray as your Holy Spirit just dances across this congregation. And truly, Lord, you dance over your people. There's joy in your heart. There's joy, oh God, in the house of the Lord today. Because souls that were wayward are now back in right relationship with you. People that were non-committed now are committed. And Lord, they're believing that great things are going to take place. I pray for those that are standing at the Jordan River. They're afraid to step in. They don't have the faith to believe, but God, give them that unction. Don't give him the push, Lord. Give him the unction to take you at your word. And your word says, step in. Step in and have faith to see what I can do. Lord, you are going to have to do some miracles way beyond what we could even ask or think. You're going to have to do miracles, oh Lord, way beyond our thinking. You're going to dazzle us, oh God. You're going to amaze us in what you have in store. Bless your people, work in their lives, I pray. And Lord, let that be our prayer this year. Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Oh, have your way, Lord.
Thou art the Father.
God, have your way. Have your way, Lord.
I am the King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Grab a hold of somebody's hand next to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Come on, Dave. Come up here. Hallelujah. Come up this with me. All right. Hold your hand. All right, Josh, you want to come over here? You don't mind? Hey, you're going to be famous. You're on camera. Smile. Come on, Tim. Everyone, hold hands, right? Let's pray. Father, as we commit this year, 2024, into your hands. Father, I don't know what you got in store for us, but I know what you got in store for us is good. You're a good God. You do good things. You're a good Father. Hallelujah. We sung it today, oh God, and we sung it by faith, believing, oh Lord, that you're going to do something great and mighty among us. Lord, we're going to see excitement today. We're going to see football teams on the field participating, doing their best while the fans are in the stands. They're participating, Lord. They're yelling and screaming, saying, come on, do it, do it, do it. And Lord, today, oh God, we are in that same position. We, oh God, are your workers. We're workers together with you, laboring for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we don't want to be participants, or we don't want to be spectators. We want to be participants in what you're doing in this hour. Have your way among us, we pray. Have your way among us, oh God. Work in our hearts, work in our lives, work in this church. Whatever this future has, God, we want it to be yours and not ours. We lay aside any selfish ambitions on our part, and we say, God, have your way this day. And for this, we're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Turn to one another and say, we have faith to believe. We have faith to believe. Amen. We have faith to believe. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. We'll see you Wednesday night for our annual church business meeting. You can go on Facebook, I think, and watch this again if you want. But God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.